Dr. Claudette. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you.
So, a study that you had led, it was around surgeries, millions of procedures you looked into and found that Māori were more likely than non-Māori to pass away within the month of surgery, and that was that was the big takeaway from the research. Before we get into the actual reasons behind this isn't something that you kind of like dreamt up and thought, well, within a month I'll just go and do this. I mean, this was a longitudinal study, was it not?
It was, and it's sort of to give a little bit of background, it grew from a report that an organization called the Perioperative Mortality Review Committee put out, which have had over the years a number of really awesome Māori within the committee, including Jonathan Coyer, who was one of the authors on this paper. He's a Māori liver cancer surgeon. And they did a report back in 2016 which showed that Māori were more likely to die within 30 days after a general anaesthetic. So that was basically any procedure under general anaesthetic. And that combined with some work that we were doing in the context of diabetes, where we found that Māori were more likely to die with following an amputation as a complication of their diabetes. Those things kind of brought us together to think, okay, I think we needed to look at this a bit more broadly and to really get a handle on what's happening here. So the 30-day mortality measure is a really common way of looking at surgical safety or surgical quality. It's a very undesirable outcome to have a patient that's under your care, and a surgeon would be the first person to say this, pass away within 30 days, because that indicates that really maybe they were not suitable for the procedure. Maybe they shouldn't have had the procedure in the first place. And if you're finding disparities between Māori and non-Māori, as we have in our paper, it also points towards some issues might be happening a little bit further upstream, and they might be happening more commonly for Māori. Claudette, I just would like to emphasise, though, that overall, death within a month of surgery is very uncommon. So it's just before people start thinking, oh, my goodness, more likely to die within 30 days of surgery. It's a very uncommon outcome, like 1% is a high rate. So just before people get too scared and don't want to go and have surgery. Surgery saves lives every day. But this is certainly an area that we're wanting to focus on, because it looks like Māori aren't doing as well as non-Māori within that month period.
Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely understand what you say with about the time period, the month. What about a longer time frame following post-surgery then? Did you look at 1 month, 2 months, up to a year? Were there any sort of trends that we could, discuss? Was there any trends that were obvious, following post-surgery over the time period?
Yeah, so we looked at, there's kind of a few different ways of measuring quality of post-operative outcomes. One is this kind of quite abrupt 30-day mortality measure, and actually another one is day of, whether or not a patient actually dies on the hospital table, on the surgery, while they're having surgery. That's another even more acute measure of that mortality. But we also, in the paper, we looked at 90-day mortality, so that's out to 3 months. And that, of course, that includes patients who passed away within that first month, so that they're kind of incorporated within that group. Then you start and we did see similar trends. So we still see Māori more likely to die within that 90-day period. But really, when you start looking at that period, you're almost looking at not quite different things, but other things. So that 90-day period will not just encapsulate the patient selection, so whether or not the patient should have undergone the procedure, but also things like how good was their post-operative care? Did they get treated within, did they get the best post-operative care that they could have had within that first 3 month period? And then you can even stretch right out to a year and start saying, okay, well, how are patients doing in a year? And that's becoming even more common within this field, to start looking out quite far out to see, okay, how are patients actually doing out to that year period? So in this paper, we found similar trends out to 90 days for Māori. Māori's still more likely to die within that period. But that's, of course, as I mentioned, that includes those 30-day deaths. So that sort of feeds into that as well.
So what I'm hearing from your kōrero is that leading into surgeries, we might have other issues, but perhaps they may not have been identified. And I know I'm speaking rather generally here, but I'm not a physician or a scientist, you know. And post-surgery, we have presented with issues but might not have been followed up in a timely fashion, or we might not have identified them and taken ourselves along. So there might be issues pre- and post-surgery. I guess the big question is then, why is there enough being done to identify all the issues that are presented and that are underlying that we don't identify with before we go into a surgery? And is there enough follow-up, is there enough attention around our whānau post the surgeries?
So if we break that down into two, so let's look at the pre-period first. So one of the key findings from our study was that the difference between Māori and non-Māori in terms of that risk of death is greatest for elective and waiting list procedures. So to explain that a little bit, that's procedures that you know you're going to have. So, right, I'm going to have my hip replacement done in 6 weeks' time or whatever. That's an elective or waiting list procedure. Separate that out from an acute procedure, which is something like you go to hospital because you've got really bad symptoms and you need an operation right now, basically, to save your life. We found the biggest difference for those ones that we have that full planning for, so the acute elective waiting list sort of procedures. And what that points us towards, and we talk about this in our paper a bit, is that, hey, maybe Māori aren't getting the best preoperative care that Māori need. So maybe Māori don't have as good access to things like what they call prehabilitation, which is preparing a patient for surgery, usually through exercise programs. Maybe Māori aren't getting care for comorbidity ahead of procedures through things like good access to primary care, GPs, etc., to get that diabetes under control, to get that heart disease under control, to make sure that, you know, that insult of that procedure is going to, you know, that patient's really prepared for that insult. That's a speculation we have at this point. And the reason it's a speculation is because we don't have great data on it. We don't know what's going on. So is enough being done? Well, I think we're getting better. We are paying more attention to this right now. And the Perioperative Mortality Review Committee that I mentioned just before is really paying a lot more attention to this since that last report, bearing in mind they were the ones that pretty much identified this about 5 years ago as being a significant problem. So I think we're doing better, but it's been incremental. And I think the major upheaval that we need, because I feel this is first and foremost a systems problem, comes with the major shakeup that we're experiencing now with the health reforms. The post-operative period is a different nuanced killer fish that we haven't gone into much within this paper, so I'm more comfortable talking about that preoperative period because we understand even less about what's happening post-operatively.
Right. So, and also too, are there areas around the Motu, you know, the different DHBs, are there some DHBs that are more of a concern than other DHBs? And I raise that, you know, quite easily, because we have seen with this COVID rollout and with relationship and engagement with our Māori providers, as an example, those that have great relationship engagement program with our Māori providers have you know, identified that there is a significant number of our whānau being vaccinated and tested. So can we also relate that in this particular case as well too, in this study? Are there some areas that are more, well, that are better for us than others?
I think that's a wonderful question, and it's a question we're literally addressing right now in a study that basically takes all of this data that we've put in, you know, as you say, nearly 4 million procedures that we looked at for this project over about a 13-year period, and we're breaking it down by region to see, literally specifically look at, what does equity look like in a regional context. One of the major problems with looking at that is that you have certain regions that are more likely to perform procedures that are really high risk. And the reason that, you know, take, for example, Auckland Hospital. So they have stacks of specialist surgeons there, not stacks, but enough to perform really quite complex procedures. And those complex procedures come with higher mortality rates because they're really complex and difficult procedures. And so that's something we call think of as like a confounder, because it might look like on the surface, like, oh my goodness, Auckland DHB, man, this, what's going on at Auckland DHB? Whereas actually it might be because they're performing really quite hard procedures. So we're grappling with how to best look at that in a fair way. Our early, and without jumping to the results of this study, because I don't want to do that until it's published and it's been through peer review, etc. But we do suspect that there are some regions, particularly outside of the main centres, that are not getting the resources that they need to provide equitable care to their Māori patients. And certainly if that's something that comes out in the data, that's something we'll be pushing for in the key messaging around that paper.
Institutional racism. This is something that has been brought up. One of the, you know, the big issues is around institutional racism. This is something that, you know, Te Ao Māori talks about, has talked about since Maera Anō, which is why we've ended up with, you know, with the Māori Health Authority and the dismantling of the DHBs. But this is something that you clearly identify in your study, is that institutional racism is probably the biggest beast in this study.
That's true. So I was quoted in the paper last week talking about it as being the head of the beast, and that's how I feel about it. So it's institutionalized racism is really the easiest way to understand it. It's just the fact the system was not set up to work for Māori. We have a system that was set up to work for the majority, not the minority. We have a system, we inherited a British medical system. We're based on the NHS system in the UK. It wasn't set up to be responsive for Māori, and that's why we need this kind of earth-shattering change that we're getting right now that's making a lot of people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Is because if you take a system that was designed to work for the majority, it ain't going to work well for the minority, and you get the sorts of disparities that we're talking about here. You make the system less accessible, you make the system less responsive, then you get the sorts of inequities that we're talking about.